a website, itwales.com, if you want to see what we're doing and the other activities we're doing here and in South Wales, please go to the website. Tonight we have Phil Roach, who's going to talk about extending your web browser. So thanks very much for coming, Phil, and I'll leave the rest to you.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. My name's Philip Roach. I work for Corova, a software developer. Today I want to talk about, the title of the presentation is Extending Your Browser. The main points I want to discuss are Mozilla as an application development framework, and discussing the technologies that make up that framework. And also, I'm also going to discuss the Firefox web browser and some of its features. I'll be discussing some Firefox extensions and one extension in particular called Aggregate, which I will use to display some of the technologies that I'm already talking about. Right? So firstly, answer some simple questions. Who are Mozilla? The Mozilla Foundation is a free software open source project that was founded in order to create the next generation internet suite for Netscape. After Netscape, in 2005, the Mozilla Foundation announced the creation of the Mozilla Corporation. So there's two parts to Mozilla.org. There's a Mozilla Corporation, which is the for-profit half of the organization, and there's a Mozilla Foundation that's in charge of the open source projects. The Mozilla Corporation are in charge of bringing the applications like Firefox and Thunderbird to the end users. What is Firefox? Firefox is a freely available cross-platform web browser similar to Internet Explorer or Safari. What is the Mozilla Application Framework? The Mozilla Application Framework goes by three names. There's Mozilla Application Framework, there's XPFE, which is Cross-Platform Framework Environment, and there's XP Toolkit, Cross-Platform Toolkit. It's a collection of cross-platform software components, one of which is the Gecko Layout Engine. The Gecko Layout Engine is a standards-based layout engine designed for performance and portability. The terms Gecko and Mozilla Application Framework tend to be interchangeable, but Gecko is specifically the rendering engine that is used by Firefox to render HTML and XML documents. A brief history on Mozilla. Development began on the Gecko layout engine at Netscape in 1997, following the Netscape's purchase of a company called Digital Style. The existing Netscape engine was from Netscape 1 to Netscape 4. It was vastly inferior to Internet Explorer's rendering engine at the time, so they felt in purchasing Digital Style and starting a new layout engine, they would gain market share over Internet Explorer. In November 2000, Netscape 6 was released. That was the first release of Netscape to include the new Gecko layout engine. In early in 2001 or so, AOL had purchased Netscape already, so they instead of using the Internet Explorer layout engine in their custom AOL browser, they started to use the Gecko layout engine. In 2003, AOL decided to lay off all of their Mozilla developers, Gecko developers, and on the very same day, the Mozilla Foundation was founded to continue work on the Gecko layout engine. It was then released as an open source project. Currently, Gecko's version of it is 1.9, and it will be that. The Gecko layout engine 1.9 will be the engine used in Firefox 3. Put this in context as Mozilla application development framework. There are many applications that are built using the framework, not just Firefox has a web browser, there's Thunderbird, the email client, there's several music players, Xcube, Democracy, Songbird, there's some an FTP client there, there's the mobile web browser called Minimo, it's Juiced, the TV over IP on demand application that's built on XPFE. So it's not just simply Firefox and Thunderbird. And now to what I want to discuss in the kind of the first half is the technologies that make up the Mozilla application framework. I've listed them here, and the main one is the Gecko layout engine that I've discussed before. That's a standards-based layout engine designed for performance and portability. XPCOM is an object interface that allows interfacing between any programming language which a binding has been developed. Now, by COM, I mean similar to Windows COM components, that they can be interfaced with through any language, not just the language they've been written in. The next technology that makes up the framework is Necco, and that is the network library. It provides an extensible API for several layers of networking from within the applications. So none of the code for any of the networking or transport layers has to be written. It can all be handled by the Necco engine. The next technology is XUL, pronounced Zool. It's the basis for the user interface. It's an XML-based language similar to HTML and similar to Microsoft's new XAML language. It has consists of interface elements, widgets, control elements, similar to HTML. We have tags that the browser renders in a certain way. XUL has tags that the Gecko layout engine renders in a certain way. Next, we have XBL, which is an extensible binding language, which allows you to define your own widgets for use in XUL. So it's a way of templating chunks of XUL and using them in your XUL documents. Next is XPConnect. XPConnect is the way that all Mozilla applications, the main user interfaces, is written using JavaScript. Using XPConnect in JavaScript, you can connect and use interface with the XPCOM components. XPInstall is the technology used to install applications and extensions using the framework. We'll be discussing that in more detail. The framework supports many web services, in particular XML RPC, SOAP, and XML HTTP requests, similar to that in Internet Explorer. It also supports many other standards, open or common standards, including SVG, XSLT and XPath, MathML, JavaScript, as I mentioned, and recently as well SQLite database storage. In more detail, the Gecko layout engine. The layout engine Gecko offers a rich programming API, making it suitable for a wide variety of roles in internet-enabled applications, some of which I've shown you in the list before. Gecko's standards-based, as I said, and these are some of the standards that it supports: HTML4, CSS up to level 3 or partial support of level 3, JavaScript 1.7 and below, DOM levels 1 and 2, XML, XHTML, MathML, XForms, which is Microsoft's new technology, SVG, Vector Graphics, RDF, Resource Description Framework, which is a flat file database format, and the new Canvas tag. Gecko's side note, Mozilla's layout engine is called Gecko. Internet Explorer's layout engine is called Trident, and you will have seen that in many many Windows applications like Outlook would use the Trident layout engine. Safari's is called WebCore, which is kind of semi-open source now, and Conqueror on KDE uses it. And the Opera web browser's layout engine is called Presto. Vita XP.com. Cross-platform component object model. So any components you write will be cross-platform, across this, the same platforms that the framework will run on. The components can be implemented in several languages, including JavaScript, Java, Perl, Python, and the main one is C++. So if you can write any components in those languages and interface to them in JavaScript using the XP Connect. The interface to your component is defined in a dialect of interface definition language called XP IDL, which is specific to Mozilla. XP.com provides a core set of components for use within your applications, file and memory management, threads, and basic data structures. Anything else will be a separate component that you've written yourself or that is included in the application. Necco is the network library, a platform-independent API for several layers of networking, ranging from transport to presentation layers. It provides a generic and extensible framework for fetching URLs or URIs, generic cache service, and the ability to query that cache, the synchronous DNS resolution, and implementations of common protocols, HTTP, FTP, HTTPS, and file, and also the specific to Mozilla, the Chrome protocols. XUL, pronounced XUL, stands for XML User Interface Language. It uses many existing standards and technologies, including CSS, JavaScript, DTD, and RDF. All of those technologies can be used within XUL to generate your interface in your application. Because it uses those technologies like CSS and JavaScript, it's relatively easy for people to learn and pick up those with a background in web programming and web development. One of the main features in Mozilla applications and XUL interfaces is that they're all localizable, and that you can have the interface will change dependent on what language the user has set. So you can have an English GB version or an English US or French version. XUL does not have to be specifically included in your application. It can be run remotely just as you would a HTML document. So you can generate an interface, an XUL interface, and host it on your web server, provided you have that MIME type set up on your web server, so that Firefox or any application can run it correctly. XBL, XML Binding Language. Language for describing the bindings that can be attached to elements in other documents, specifically XUL documents. It is used to declare the behavior and look of XUL widgets and XML elements. So it's a way of it's bound using CSS using a Moz binding property. So any XUL document element that you bind some XBL to, you can then override. So if you have a button that you want to change in your XUL without actually changing the XUL, you can bind some XBL to it and change it in that way. It's a way of templating your XUL. XP Connect, as I've mentioned before, is a bridge between your JavaScript and your XP.com components. there is security issues with XP, with JavaScript interfacing with XP kind of components, that if the application was running remotely and the JavaScript was trying to interface with the client's kind of components, that's a security risk. To solve this, full privileges to interface with the components that are built into the application are only given to scripts, they're called Chrome scripts, scripts that are part of the application.
It's the install.
Installing extensions or applications. It's being installed allows is a technology for installing Mozilla extensions that add functionality to the main application. XP install consists of a single file called a zippy file, which is a zip file with an XPI extension. All of the application or extensions code will be in that file, along with an install script or install manifest at the root of the XPI. Again, there's a security issue here as well, that all extensions and applications that are installed on a user's client they can only be installed from an authorized list of sites. This is to avoid malicious extensions or applications being installed without the user's knowledge. You can add sites to that list. And there you see the dialogue that you would get in Firefox when you try and install an extension, the Gmail notifier. When you open up the XPI file, this is the dialogue you get. Web services that the framework provides are XML RPC, provides the ability to invoke remote procedure calls without having to write any networking code. Same goes for SOAP. Invoking a SOAP call is as simple as creating an instance of the SOAP call class, populating with your parameters, and calling the invoke method. So there's no low-level code needed to be written. There's also support for web service definition language, specifically in XBL. So you can bind the result of a SOAP call using the WSDL description to any XUL element. XML HTTP request allows the querying of parsing of remote XML documents. This is equivalent feature to in other browsers like Internet Explorer, and it is XML HTTP request that is the basis for all the AJAX development that has become so popular. Other technologies that are supported by the framework are DTD, document type definitions for XML documents, ODF, XSLT, and XPath, MathML, which is a markup language from mathematical equations, vector graphics. I mentioned most of those before. There's also some new features that have been added in the latest release, which is persistent session storage on a client's machine. Previously, if we wanted to store any data on the client's machine, we would store it in a cookie. But now there's another method, DOM storage. We can store large chunks of user data on the client machine throughout the session. There's the OpenSearch standard, which is now supported by the framework, micro summaries. The spell check is built in now, and there's two XML parsers, the SAX parser and the DOM parser are now features that are built in. And get on to part of the presentation where we're discussing Firefox. A lot of you will have seen Firefox as a web browser equivalent to that of Microsoft Internet Explorer, but it's not just a web browser, it is very extensible using add-ons and extensions. There are plugins that can be installed, and customizable themes can be installed on Firefox to completely change the way your install looks. And also profiles. Let's discuss those in a bit more detail now. add-ons, they used to be called extensions, but they've changed the name to add-ons now. They extend Firefox, adding a personalized browsing experience. They can make a tiny tweak or bring a whole new range of features to your favorite browser. I will discuss some more extensions, and three in particular, in detail a bit later on. Plugins. Plugins help your browser perform specific functions like viewing special graphic formats or playing multimedia files. Plugins are slightly different from extensions, which modify or add existing functionality. The core most popular plugins that can be installed on Firefox or a framework application will be Shockwave, Flash, Java, Windows Media Player, QuickTime, and then Adobe Reader plugin, Real Media. So if you click any a link or try to view any of those media types, they will play or can be viewed within the application rather than having to download another application just to view it. Themes. Themes are like new clothes for your Firefox. A theme can change only a few colors for every piece of Firefox's appearance. It's another great way to personalize Firefox to your tastes. The screenshot there I have is of a theme for Firefox, which makes Firefox look and act exactly like the Safari browser for Mac OS X. So you can see how much it can be customized. Profiles. Mozilla Firefox stores all your personal settings like bookmarks, passwords, your history, extensions, themes in a directory called Profile Directory. There you can see a screenshot of the profile manager. So you can create many different profiles. You can have one for your web development work, one for personal browsing. It's a way of separating different extensions or development environments. Okay. Specifically, Firefox, the viewing the code. As Firefox is built on the Mozilla application framework, you can view and modify any part of Firefox's code. I've mentioned that you can extend Firefox using extensions or themes or plugins, but you can directly change the code for Firefox by extracting the browser.jar file in your Firefox install directory. You have access to all of the JavaScript, XPCOM, and XUL used to build up the Firefox interface. And that way it's very customizable. So if you don't like the way that the bookmarks behave, you can extract the jar file, change it, and re-archive it, and then the bookmarks will behave differently. The code directory structure of the Mozilla Firefox install. There's a few directories here. I've noticed that we'll discuss the Chrome directory. Contains all the XUL and JavaScript used in the Firefox's interface. So if you want to change anything, that's where you change it in the Chrome directory. The components, all of the components used in Firefox are held in the components directory. JavaScript components and also the C++ ones, like spell check, search suggestions, the content handler components. There's also an extensions directory, which the core extensions that are included in the default Firefox install is located. The default ones will be the Firefox default theme, the DOM inspector, the document object model inspector, and also the crash reporting tool, those are the three that will be installed in the default install. Plugins, the directory where all the plugins will be installed. Resources and res. Directory is where all the language files, CSS, and images are stored for your Firefox application. There's the search plugins. There are a number of default search plugins included in Firefox install, Amazon, Yahoo, and Google. You can see there that's a screenshot of the search box in the top right hand corner of the Firefox application. That search box is actually Mozilla Corporation's main source of revenue. That every search that you do from that box, every Google search you do from that box, that results in a click on a Google ad and a Google search results.
Mozilla Corporation receives a sum of money. Last year they made $72 million just by us searching for that box. Okay.
And then I'll discuss some extensions a bit more in detail. I've chosen three extensions to discuss in detail, which I think are very useful and display exactly what can be done with the Mozilla application framework. Firebug is a truly great extension. Firebug integrates with Firefox to put a wealth of development tools at your fingertips while you browse. You can edit, debug, and monitor CSS, HTML, and JavaScript live in any web page. So it's a web developer's tool. It can be installed. Using Firebug on any web page, you can inspect and edit the live HTML, tweak CSS, visualize CSS metrics. So if you have a padding of 10 pixels on a div and you're wondering where it's getting pushed, you can use this feature to visualize CSS metrics and see exactly where the 10 pixels is pushing things. You can monitor network activity, how long each item takes to load on your page. You can debug and profile JavaScript, especially Ajax applications, just as you would debug and profile a C# application. You can debug a JavaScript application using Firebug. You can quickly find errors. You can explore the DOM, as this screenshot here. You can traverse to the document object model and then edit it if you want. You can execute JavaScript on the fly. One of the features in Firefox is there's a JavaScript shell. We can test JavaScript without having to load it into a page. And there's also a method for logging any JavaScript if you want to debug the old-fashioned way by logging every few lines or dumping data to the log. That was very useful. Consider downloading that one. The next one I've chosen to show you is one called Clipmarks.
Clipmarks lets you clip and tag pieces of web pages, whether it's a compelling paragraph in an article, interesting quotes, facts, or a cool image. Clipmark lets you save and share the best stuff you find on the web without having to bookmark the entire page. So when you install Clipmarks and you're browsing and you see an interesting article, instead of bookmarking it in the traditional sense, you can clip it by activating Clipmarks, selecting the area you think is interesting, and clicking inside it will then turn green, as the screenshot here is shown, and you can choose to save it privately on the clipmarks.com website, where only you will be able to see it when you log in, or you can make it public, so anybody who is browsing the Clipmarks site will see what you find interesting. It's a very neat way of managing what you think is interesting. The next one is a
very popular extension called GreaseMonkey.
GreaseMonkey allows you to completely customize a web page using CSS and JavaScript. There are hundreds or not thousands of scripts on the userscripts.org website, and range from customizing the Google homepage, as shown there, that's a GreaseMonkey script in James there, to customizing Amazon so the prices in different currencies are shown. The other screenshot there is the GreaseMonkey options pane, where you can see what the actual scripts are running. The way it works is you upload a script to the GreaseMonkey application and you bind it to a website using its the Gmail forward thread will run on mail.google.com.
Okay. I want to discuss
to kind of bring everything I've spoken about, all the technologies and so on, to show exactly how they go together to build an extension. Aggregate is an RSS feed aggregator extension that I've, an open source project I've been working on for about 3 years on and off. What I want to do is show you the source code and see how it all comes together. So I'll be flicking between the editor and the editor next. So I'll go through each technology specifically and then show you how it's used in the extension. So I mentioned ORDF before, the support for ORDF, resource description framework.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Firefox has the ability to not only view and store audio packets, but also has the ability to query them. There are many methods of querying an ODF document, XQuery and a few other ways, all of which are supported in Firefox. Specifically, Aggregate uses ODF to store all the feed subscriptions. So I'll just show you exactly what I mean by that. So here we can see some ODF that is used in Aggregate to store the feed subscriptions that you would have for RSS feeds. So you can see it's a very verbose method of storing data. It's a lot of metadata. So here I can see my list sequence for feeds contains a category called development. Inside that development category I have multiple feeds here, and each of those feeds in turn are described in their own nodes. So, the next technology that Aggregate uses is JavaScript. JavaScript is used for all of Aggregate's functionality. It interfaces with built-in components. Those components it uses specifically are the writing the ODF subscriptions, interfacing with the network library to download RSS feeds, and also for interfacing with the feed processor for parsing the downloaded RSS feeds. I can show you here. Just increase the text size a bit. Parser specifically here uses, I'll go to the other. Here you can see how using JavaScript, using XP Connect in JavaScript, I'm interfacing with an instance of the feed processor component, and I will use that feed processor to then process a downloaded RSS feed, which is the downloading is done using XML HTTP request. Technology used is CSS. You've all seen CSS on web pages, but it can also be used in XUL documents. Aggregate uses CSS to style the parsed RSS feeds. It also has a style sheet switcher, switch between multiple page styles depending on your preference. And the CSS is the exact same that you would see on a normal web page. Is the exact same. So if I was applying CSS to any XUL elements, it would be the exact same. I would have my CSS properties and values accordingly. Okay. XUL. Simple. XUL is used to specify the user interface for Aggregate, the feed tree, the display panel, and subscription forms. There's also another feature in XUL called overlays, and that allows you, this screenshot I have here, allows you to overlay elements inside an existing XUL element or XUL document. So here, that is a snippet from the tools menu in Firefox browser. So I can add an aggregate entry and sublist into the tools menu using a method called XUL overlays. I'll just show you how it works now. Go. So here, each of the built-in XUL documents or elements in Firefox have their own IDs, and they can be added to or bound to using those IDs. So I want to add a menu to the tools pop-up. So menu pop-up, and the ID is menu tools pop-up, and that is bound to the tools menu in Firefox. I then create an XUL menu. So as you can see, it's quite a simple markup language. I have a menu pop-up and then my menu items. The next I'd like to show you is the BTDs. I've mentioned that there is support for these
and that all Firefox extension themes can be localized. The localization of an XUL interface is achieved using a DTD file, a document type definition. So I'll show you one, okay, so you can see what I mean. In here, I've created a DTD file with each of the entities for language-specific text that is used in the application. So I have a title for the window. Now, I could have hard-coded in the words aggregator or ZS feed aggregator, but if I wanted a French person to use this application, they wouldn't necessarily understand that. So having a DTD file for each specific language, it enables the application to be localized. So to call the window title, you'd use the ampersand window.title semicolon, as you would call an ASCII entity inside XSLT or XML. So DTDs are used for the localization of XUL documents. There's also the property strings that allow JavaScript to be localized. So if there's any pop-up messages or any, if you do any writing of text to your application using JavaScript, you can use property strings to make it localizable. And then here. So here you see, I can bind all these sentences to specific variable names, which I can then use inside the JavaScript using the string bundle class. Aggregate also has a build script to put all the XUL documents, JavaScript documents, the localized files, and the CSS and images together into an XPI, which I've explained before. So what it does is it creates a jar archive, which is a Java's jar tool archive containing all the extensions code. So that would be, as said, the JavaScript, the NEXP COM components you might have written, your CSS, your images, and your language files. It also creates the XPI zip archive containing the jar archive and also the install manifest and install script. So look at those in detail now. The script itself is there, so you can see it builds a uses a jar to build up the archive, then it uses zip to zip up the install manifests in the archive, creating an XPI file which can then be installed on Firefox. The install manifest that I've mentioned before but not shown you is this here. This is how Firefox understands what it is this application is for and where it is meant to go. So that it is an ODF document containing all the metadata for the extension that you wish to install. So the creator, description, the homepage, the icon that you would like to be shown in the extensions extension management dialog. There's also the version number of the extension, the language, and this here is the target application. Because the Mozilla application framework allows you to build multiple different types of applications, and all of those applications have access to the framework features, you can install your extension can be installed on multiple applications. So I could have an extension that will install on Firefox, Thunderbird, Songbird, and Juiced, and it's here that I specify which applications I want to install them on. Each framework application will have a GUID. That there is Firefox's GUID, and the GUIDs can be found on Mozilla.org. Here, I specify what versions of the application do I want my extension to be installed on. So my maximum version I want is 2.0.0. Something as well, up to 2.0.1.
this extension will run out, and the minimum version is 2. And that will aid in not having to be backwards compatible or forwards compatible in the extensions.
And the finished product, I think, is there's a screenshot there, but I'll show you the working version. So, yeah, I've got so
this is the RSS feed aggregator. I've got my subscription feeds I'm subscribed to here. I've got my view of the RSS, the parsed RSS feed. I have subscriptions tab so I can manage my subscriptions. And lots of the style sheets which I mentioned before. So any feeds I would have subscribed to, I can simply view them here.
BBC's RSS feed. Once I've subscribed to it, I can then view it using. I should be able to. I have no network.
So that's the finished application, putting all the XP.com, XP Connect, JavaScript, XUL, and CSS, XP install all together to create an installable extension which works when you have one.
Okay, so my main talk on the Mozilla application framework is kind of finished,
but there are similar projects that have application frameworks similar to how Mozilla's works, in that they have multiple technologies that get put together to allow developers to create quite complicated interfaces and applications, one of which is the Eclipse. Eclipse is mainly a Java IDE, but it can also be extended into other applications, one of which is Aptana, which is specifically a JavaScript IDE. There are many other applications that use it as well, so that could be another talk someone could do. I've been talking specifically about Firefox extensions, but Internet Explorer 7 in particular provides interfaces to installing extensions and add-ons to enhance the user interface. And this screenshot here I've got is the Web Developer Toolbar for Internet Explorer 7, which is doesn't have half the features of Firebug. And you can see that I can traverse to the document object model and see the different properties for each element and so on. It's quite useful. It tends to focus more on toolbar development, like the Google toolbar or Yahoo toolbar. It's not as popular at all as the Firefox extensions. One, because it's probably because it's Microsoft, and the other because Internet Explorer 7 was just released a couple of months ago.
Next, we have to hear is the end.
The PDFs and so on, and examples that I've shown, but you can download them from that URL. And the references for the sites I've used. So, if you have any questions,
I'd like to ask you. It seems to me there's a whole lot more work being done on the Mozilla than the Microsoft to put their efforts into developing information. Is that true?
Well, there was a big push for Internet Explorer 7 to be released because of the advances that Firefox has made over the last few years. Internet Explorer is a closed source browser, so they don't have as many developers and testers to advance each technology as Firefox would. Because Firefox has all of the Mozilla Foundation's employees, the employees of the companies that contribute to Firefox, and volunteers as well. Not just Internet Explorer, just as the Internet Explorer team, that's it. And they have a big code base to build on as well.
And it's a fiction wall problem.
Exactly. That's what they made there.
When you've added these things, how do you remove them? Because I've got an annoying one that's has removed my favourites and put on this delicious, and I can't find a way of getting rid of it.
It depends what version of Firefox you're using.
The latest one.
if you, your extension or your add-ons management dialog from your tools menu, if you right-click on any extension listed in that dialog, there'll be an uninstall option in the context menu. Previous to version 0.9, there was no such thing. So if you installed it, that was it. But now it just right-click and uninstall.
It seems to me from some of the stuff you've said, obviously I've been doing that stuff for years and I still can't pretend to understand everything you said, that you should be able to make an embedded browser out of all this and still have the ability to put extensions on.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
Because you've got all the net functionality in there.
Yeah. I'll
go back to the list of applications I had. I can find my cursor somewhere. There we go. Sorry, I just want to go and show you the number of applications that have been developed and that have actually embedded the
They've embedded the Gecko layout engine, so they have access to all of the Gecko the extensions, the CSS, SwiftFox, Flock, NVU is an HTML editor, but also has an HTML viewer, so it has an embedded Gecko. SyncKey was previously known as Mozilla Suite. That is that embeds it Minimo, Firefox, and these Linux browsers, the Tiffany and Galleon for Linux GNOME. They embed it. Thunderbirds, when you view your mail, the HTML view is done using the Gecko layout engine. So, it's also possible to embed it in. In other application, not specifically Mozilla application frameworks, you can embed it in a C# application. You can embed the browser part of the layout engine, so you don't have to use Internet Explorer, so you have standards compliant.
Well, I was thinking even more that you talked about having all the request functionality in there, so you might be able to go further and put it into an appliance.
Yeah.
As though it's an operating system in its own right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Juice is probably the best application that shows that. It's completely stripped down the whole of the, you've got no menus or anything. And what that is kind of peer-to-peer TV application.
Mm.
So it has stripped it all down and they've added a lot of components that use the network, the Neko engine.
Yeah.
They've also added all their peer-to-peer ASCOM components, so they've added on that, so to be able to do all the peer-to-peer and also the straight download and media playing as well. So that's probably the best example of an application, of a framework application that has done the most amount of work away from a straight web browser.
Can you use Firebug to develop extensions, or is it just for
You can use it for debugging extensions. You can use it for debugging SQL and specifically your JavaScript as well. It can be very useful. There are specific extensions that are helpful for extension development, SQL Maker, and a few of those as well. They specifically need extension.
Is XUL Maker stable?
No, it's quite. Last time I looked, it hadn't been developed for a few years, but I found a quick way just to develop the interface building the XUL document.
Last time I found Steam on the use for it, it's as good as Firefox plus Thunderbird.
Yeah, it is. That was originally probably Netscape 6 around then. After then was when Mozilla Suite, which is what it was called then, and then it was two guys who felt it was getting kind of bloated, like Netscape was, because it had the email, it also had the chat application, and it also had the HTML composer as well. So they brought just the web browser part out of Firefox, but they've continued developing on Mozilla Suite and performed. So if you only have one application to do, plugins.
It's, of course, it's available in Linux as well. This is what I like.
Yeah. Linux, OS X, Unix, any Unix flavor as well. Great cross platform.
I want to ask you a question about cross platform, actually. That was fortuitous. If we write Java, it's kind of meant to be cross platform, but you can often end up in a situation where you think, I just run it on this platform, and then I'll have the facilities. And you know, there are no, you know, there are caveats with it.
Yeah.
Are we? Is that the same situation here? Are we? You know, do we fall over caveats like that? Are there instances? How many are there?
It depends what the built-in components or any the technologies that are discussed. They will all be cross platform. If you write specific components to certain things, like I mentioned the peer-to-peer or media streaming, that might well be platform specific. You'd have to change it if you're directly accessing any of the operating system APIs, or then you'd have to change similar to if you're doing anything similar to Java.
So you'd have to deal with the differences at that point. But that's the only thing that we're saying.
If you stuck to the technologies that it provides and didn't stray away from developing your own components and so on, you can guarantee that it will work across all the platforms. Which is quite good.
I'm still adapting to become in both environments.
Yeah.
So the interface to that is the same.
Yeah.
The components you're using.
Exactly. Yeah. So there could be a Windows component, and then in Firefox 3 they're looking to change the way that the 2D graphics and 3D graphics are rendered. At the moment they use operating specific components, so they would have the several ones for each different operating system, but they're looking to implement, I think the 3D one is called Glitz and the 2D library is called Cairo. So then they will be truly cross-platform once they have that done. But if you were doing cross-platform with OS-specific, then you could create one component for each operating system.
I found that there are some sites that they don't work with a particular browser. I found, for instance, one I can only edit the site with the Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
I've tried all the other ones, and there are some of the other ones that I use Opera quite a lot, because Opera, in fact, will pull out plain text out of a web page and save it as plain text. On other ones, it won't. It leaves me with HTML as well, which I can't get rid of.
Yeah.
There
are, it's probably the inconsistencies of
of
not conforming to standards within HTML standards, JavaScript standards, and CSS standards. That's probably why you see the inconsistencies in the web pages. Specifically for Internet Explorer, they might have an ActiveX component or control installed, and that won't work on any other browser. Although there is a partly developed extension available.
The other thing I like about Opera is I can set it differently for each site. Now, for instance, on some sites I disable, if I know the dodgy sites, I disable all scripting.
I think there might be an extension to do such a thing. The GreaseMonkey extension that I showed you would allow you to do that. So you could bind a script to turn off all AdWords, turn off all JavaScript, to bind it to that URL. Anything you could think of, that's probably an extension working to do it, like extracting plain text from the document, or the context.
So going back to XML and cross-platform stuff, are there any plans whereby Mozilla to be able to interface with anything that's not Gordon's XML's bridge to other technologies like Microsoft's COM or to OpenFace email?
Not that I'm aware of. You could probably write a component to interface with it, and interface with that, and the wrapper around it. Probably do it. I think. that's probably what Juiced had done. Probably the wrapper text become mappers for the peer-to-peer libraries. And that specifically uses the same peer-to-peer library that we use in Skype. And they would have written this from the same, the founders of the Skype have written it. So they would have written wrappers for the peer-to-peer libraries. So they could use the same application.
There's
a lot of
Firefox in
there,
which is browse. Internet Explorer engine inside the tab,
yeah.
And Firefox, is that just a wrapper?
Yeah, that would be a wrapper to the Trident player engine. Yeah, it's quite handy, like if you make a mention of the inconsistency with Internet Explorer, so you wouldn't have to leave Firefox, you just right click to view the menu and the tab in Firefox. Actually, Netscape 7 or 8 actually included that by default.
Mm.
So you can just do IE or Firefox and it change the name of the engine.
Mm. Yeah, you've seen components in a number of languages.
Yeah.
Yes. And is the support truly there for those fringe languages? So if I decided to add some components in Python, and maybe you suddenly find that we've got hard work, which is quite often what happens. We find it supposedly you can write something.
Specifically Python. I did look into it. There's PyExpCom is a project which was developed a couple of years ago and has faded out. So you will find it will be quite difficult. There's not much documentation on components written in any language other than JavaScript and C++, but it can be done. Specifically the EXE application here, that's an e-learning application that packages up e-learning and tutorials and SCORM packages and so on. That is written in Python and uses XPCOM to wrap around that, so it calls all the Python methods and classes from within JavaScript. All that's database accessible, so it's done through Python before Firefox 2 and SQLite was introduced.
Because although it's brought the development down in terms of it's very simple to do things, for example, to extend the user interface, it's a very short learning curve looking at what's there. You have got quite a lot of different technologies and you're pulling together all the different elements. What's the sort of development time like on that compared to, in fact, to give a good example, say I was doing Java GUIs, yes, and that's what I was doing day in, day out. And you could do those very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Is that going to compete on a speed basis, assuming that you're knowledgeable in both areas?
In development.
Yeah, or is this going to be a lot slower?
I think it would probably, because you could do a lot more OS specific or file manipulation and usage, heavyweight programming in Java than you can in JavaScript or interfacing with any common components. It probably would take longer in Firefox, but you've got the added benefit that it can be installed on any user's client or cross platform than Java is. And I suppose developing the user interface would be a lot quicker here than it would be in using Java Swing or anything like that. It would be a lot quicker building it up in XUI. And now there is a project in Java, I can't remember what it's called, which allows you to build Java interfaces using XUI. So you can import the XUI documents on the web into Swing or something. I can't remember what it's called.
It's kind of a trend at the moment, isn't it? As a developer, to be getting more and more layers of abstraction with every year.
Yes.
As it's doing less in each layer, you've got to know more about.
Yeah, exactly. You can see that Domino 3 separated from the
Xamarin. Amongst the team, if you think about it, years ago. Various concerns to different people. What's now, in every layer, we must separate out to a greater extent.
I think it's because the problem is in a certain level, is actually using space out. So now they think, okay, let's turn the zoom space into something that can be defined by another language that describes some, which is also described by something else. And
but how do you find, say if you're running it in SUSE Linux and you've Firefox, you put all the few things in like that and then you get the automatic update, does it mess it up?
No, it would, depending on the, you know, I showed you the install manifest where it's the Max application or the main application. Providing that those with the same as the upgrade, provided the extension would work in the upgrade, it would import them into your upgraded installation.
Have you got any last questions?
I've got one more. Loctus is developed in JavaScript, you say?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a speed concern, because JavaScript is generally interpreted. What's happening? And what's the real story?
The engine they have is, I can't remember the name of the engine, is quicker than Firefox's JavaScript engine. It is not as quick as Opera's JavaScript engine, but over the last couple of months, Adobe's ActionScript engine, which will run JavaScript, has been donated to the Mozilla Foundation. So in Firefox 3, we will see a new JavaScript engine, which will be a lot quicker and which will be able to support a lot more features, including ActionScript for Flash movies. So there will be no need to include a plugin that will run natively.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, well, I think we'll draw to a close now. But thanks very much, Phil.
Afterwards,
I would ask you, please, would you fill in the forms?